T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the
Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition 52 weeks a year. They got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And when readers of the commercial appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner, now four straight years, has been Sleepy Z's. But remember, they don't just sell mattresses, also furniture. It's in the name. Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. Living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Like basically anything you need to furnish a home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not on the floor, understand there's a 42-inch kiosk full of furniture for you to browse through. So you just find what you want. They'll get it for you. And remember, I mentioned you heard about them on the Gary Parish Show. You're going to save an additional 10% on your purchase. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. They're located 2790 Kirby Whitten in Bartlett. That's at the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed. The number, if you want to talk to Mike, you can get him directly, 901-692-6200, 901-692-6200. That's Sleepy Z's on the web, sleepyzzz.com. Joe Mullinex is the site manager for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. He's on Twitter, at Joe Mullinex, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Joe, it's Gary. Thanks for being here, man.
Gary, I'm happy to be on any opportunity I have to chat with you about the nightmare that is developing on Beale Street. I'm happy to do it. Hopefully we'll all wake up one of these days, but I'm afraid we're not going to anytime soon, and I know you've talked about that as well.
Well, you posted it earlier today. The headline is The Nightmare on Beale Street, and you detail a lot of interesting things in this column, one of which is that, you know, attendance is on a steady decline and has been for 5 years now, and You know, we can all talk about, you know, what the Grizzlies should do, shouldn't do, but I think we're all pretty much in agreement now. There's no easy fix here, and, you know, no franchise. You mentioned the Washington Redskins and the apathy that has set in a lot of ways with that historically great football franchise. You mentioned no franchise is really immune to, like, just having your fans give up on you or at least tune out, and the Grizzlies are very much, if not now, but certainly over the next few years, at risk of maybe having to deal with that, right?
It makes me nervous, Gary, and the reason the connection I made with the column, I appreciate the shout-out to it, it's eerily similar, at least the early stages of it. Now, of course, for those that aren't as familiar with the plight of the Washington Redskins, they have terrible ownership, and Bruce Allen is their team president, and he's a joke. And instead of the guy who was the problem getting fired, he was recently this offseason given a promotion. So until the ownership changes, until there's a move made in upper management, not much is going to be done to make things better. And if that sounds familiar to Grizzlies fans, at least to an extent, that should put a shiver down your spine, because we're in a slightly similar situation. Whether it's Robert Pera, maybe not being a terrible owner, but being certainly one who is best in the shadows, it would seem, not a very public figure. Chris Wallace and whoever is in charge in the Grizzlies front office, Wallace is the public face, but you know, there's been rumors as to how that leadership structure is developed and maintained as the years have gone on, and especially this season, who's making the calls. You know, Chris Wallace is the general manager, and he's done some things that have been pretty questionable, and yet he's still here. And you look at the way that the season has gone, and I detail in the article the issues with Chandler Parsons. You would imagine J.B. Bickerstaff would love to have Chandler Parsons at his disposal now that Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks is no longer there, and Chandler is certainly not immune to criticism when the way that situation went down. But you would hope that Chandler would be available if you're a head coach who's struggling through his first full season as a head coach, and he has a piece that he probably thinks would help unavailable to him. Meanwhile, he has a guy in Jaren Jackson Jr. who is someone who could help him now, yet he's ninth in the NBA in minutes played among rookies, eighth or tied for eighth in minutes per game. He's behind guys like Kevin Huerter. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. You might be able to help me with a GP.
Kevin
I haven't
Huerter.
Watched him play.
It's just
Thank
Huerter,
you, Huerter.
Like,
okay, I was close.
Spelled weird, but just think of it as Huerter.
There you go. Kevin Huerter. So I haven't watched him. I know he's doing well. I looked up his numbers. He's having a good season for the Hawks and a lost campaign for them. But the point is, he's not the fourth overall pick in the NBA draft. He's not the guy who's supposed to be your future NBA cornerstone. And he's not the guy that is supposed to be taking the reins from Mark and Mike, who helped you get your job. But at the same time, Coach Bickerstaff seems to hold Jaren to a higher standard, and he has said as much. When it comes to making mistakes, foul trouble. But it's Jaren who's the one at this stage who, aside from Mike Conley maybe, is capable of taking over games on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. But he's not given that opportunity to consistently because of minutes played. So you look at this team, you look at the way they play, you feel a sense of hopelessness is strong because it's still early in this campaign and we're still 18 months removed from the Grizzlies being a playoff-relevant franchise. But you are looking at a franchise that is teetering. They're kind of on the precipice of a fall here. The attendance numbers are a good example of that. You want your fan base to have emotion. You want your fan base to have outrage if things are going poorly. You want your fan base to have pride and excitement when things are going well. You know, the Grizzlies are still a relatively young fan base in the NBA, and while Memphis isn't to the level of the Redskins yet, they're still at a place where they don't have the base of a Washington Redskins franchise, and they're just one example. There's others out there, of course, as well. They don't have the pedigree. They don't have the history. So if Memphis looks at a long, prolonged period where they aren't, it feels like they're directionless. Now, they might have the set goal in their minds of conveying that 2019 first-round pick to Boston, or at least hoping it'd be 2019, given the protections. They're not publicly saying that. It feels like they're lost and rudderless on a massive, massive trip that isn't going to end well for them, and they look like they're not willing to either acknowledge that or they're not capable of acknowledging it. And because of that, if you feel hopeless in that situation for long enough, you know, apathy really kind of comes in, and if that continues, you know, the Grizzlies will have larger issues on their hands as a franchise.
You know, I've talked about this before. I'm talking to Joe Mullinex, by the way. He's the site manager for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. When I was a child, and really throughout my early adult life, I was like watch every Mets game type of fan. Like I checked the standings, you know, every day and watch every game, and I knew, you know, every left-handed middle reliever, every right-handed middle reliever. I knew the best prospect. I followed it intensely. And I did, and I'm back there now where I follow it intensely. But the Mets got so bad for so long and were run in such an incompetent way that even somebody who loved it as deeply as I loved it as a child, and again, into my adult life, and back in that place now, there was a few year span where it was just like, you know what, I'm over this. Like, it's just, why do I emotionally invest in such a bad thing? And it's not interesting anymore. They're bad. They've been bad. They're going to be bad. Why is this the way I'm going to spend my time? And there were years where I didn't care. I don't want to say I didn't care, but I just like stopped thinking about it and stopped watching it and stopped all of that stuff. And again, I'm back now completely. I mean, they still are, you know, they still stink. I mean, they were terrible last season, but I'm back on board now. I watch all the games. I follow all the offseason moves. You know, I read all of the message boards. I listen to the podcast, all that stuff. But my point is, if I, at some point in my, you know, I don't know if it was late 20s, early 30s, but if I at some point got to a place where I was just like, I'm not going to deal with this anymore or consume myself with this anymore is perhaps a better way to put it. If that could happen to me with the Mets, it can certainly happen to anybody with the Grizzlies or maybe any other place.
Absolutely. And the Grizzlies are still at a stage in their development as a franchise in Memphis where they're working with young people, and young people are impressionable, as you know, and I certainly do as well. In my day job as a teacher and coach, you look at how things are going. And in the case of the Mets, that's another good example, because at least now, Gary, and I follow the Washington Nationals as a baseball fan and that sort of thing, so I'm familiar with the Mets a little bit. They may not be very good, but they seem like they have a direction.
Sure.
They've invested in pitching. They've invested. They're trying to get better, and you can buy into that process. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers, who were terrible for years, but they at least sold to their fans, there's an end game to this. Now, Sam Hinkie died for the sins of the process, but now you look at where they are, and not literally died, of course, he was fired, but you have the situation where the Philadelphia 76ers have as good of a shot as anybody in the Eastern Conference to possibly fill the void left by LeBron James and make the NBA Finals, and they went through several years of the process to get to this point where they are now. The Grizzlies feel like they're in purgatory. They're in limbo. They're in some in-between stage where they're trying to push this giant rock up a hill, and they keep falling on top of themselves, and the rock lands on them because they're not able to get out of their own way. There's disconnects, it seems, between the front office and the coaching staff. We talked about Chandler already, but another one's Justin Holliday.
Right.
You know, goodness gracious, for a team that once had wing depth and now has none of it, you'd imagine that Justin Holliday, who two players, two wings, and two second-round picks, which you can debate the value of those two, but it's still assets, especially the Seldon contract and the Seldon player and the two second-round selections. You give that up for Justin Holliday, and yet he's a part of your mop-up crew at the end of a blowout against the Houston Rockets. A starter was a part of that crew, and Devon Carter. So it just seems like organizationally there is a disconnect. Where is the direction? And there's no public face to it that is willing to say, here is where we're going. If they're truly trying to be as good as they can, and their actions the past year have suggested that that's what they're trying to do, then somebody's failing horribly at that job. If they're trying to say they're doing one thing publicly, but then privately acknowledging that they're not going to be very good, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, and that's not going to work with a fan base that expects success after the grit and grind era and the seven straight years of the playoffs. So they are directionless right now. They are not doing a good enough job of explaining this is what we want to be, this is where we want to go, at the same time having those results translate to the court. And when you have that large of a disconnect, it goes from the top of the organization all the way down. It's not just Marc Gasol's decline, which is obvious. It's not just J.B. Bickerstaff's rotations being complicated and confusing, which is obvious. It's not just the convoluted situation in the front office. It's a combination of things that have led us to where we are, looking at a Grizzlies team that has attempted to be good this season. Make no mistake about it. And after a hot start, I think this is who they are. They are not a good team. And now it has you asking hard questions about what the future is going to look like. And if you don't nail those questions, if you don't get the answers right, that's when that apathy kicks in, and that could be a real problem for the Grizzlies in Memphis over the next few years.
Talking to Joe Mullinax, site manager for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. He's on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax. I want to go back to the Chandler Parsons, Justin Holliday thing, because I do find this interesting in the sense that with Chandler, you had a coach who clearly wanted him,
right,
and a front office that did not want the coach to have him. And with Justin, you've got a front office that clearly wants him. They gave up two second-round picks that'll probably be picks in the 30s to get him, and a coach who isn't playing him. How big of an issue is those two things? Those are two very obvious places where the front office and the coaching staff just are not on the same page about two players.
Well, and it's fascinating because going back to the hiring of J.B. Bickerstaff, which, you know, Jeff Calkins and others, you know, I was on 92.9 and I was told that I'm overthinking this. The Grizzlies have their man. The Grizzlies love J.B. Bickerstaff. The players love J.B. Bickerstaff. They've seen him endure the hell that was the season that was last year, and they had seen enough. And I questioned that process. What have you seen that is tangible evidence, whether it be his two interim stints, anything that, and again, I'm not in the organization. I don't have the eyes that practice every day. But just from what I've seen, I don't have any tangible evidence that he's actually a good basketball coach. Now, you may believe he could be, and obviously the Grizzlies did. The players believed in him. But you're at the stage now where, as you mentioned, you go from within a calendar year, you go from the point of he's our man to clearly having massive disconnects on two personnel issues. And one of them, the Holliday one, is most fascinating to me because what did Justin Holliday do to deserve any of this? Obviously, Chandler Parsons made his own bed to an extent. I think safe to say, and we've talked about this over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, that there's blame to be had on both sides of that situation. Justin Holliday gets traded from the Bulls, where he was one of the leading minutes getters, minutes played per game in the entire NBA. And now he can't get minutes on a bad Memphis Grizzlies team? I find that really hard to believe. So it's either passive-aggressive or it's a sign of incompetence in terms of his lineups, which we've seen on a consistent basis. It's a multi-layered thing that, again, just adds on to all that we're seeing with this Grizzlies organization from the top down. You know, if you're going to hire a guy and you're not going to let him do his job, is this his way of getting back at you for the Parsons situation by not playing the guy that you brought in? That's complete and total speculation. But the problem with all of this, Gary, is you can't listen to that and say that's crazy, in my opinion. You can't say, oh, Joe, that makes no sense because of what they've done up to this point. At this point, anything is fair game in terms of how the rotations are being used. And when you allow that confusion and that ability to question creep into the minds of people, that's when you start to lose control, and that's when you start to lose credibility in the eyes of folks when it comes to operating your basketball team.
Talking to Joe Mullinex. He's the site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog on Twitter, at Joe Mullinex. You tweeted the following recently. I love Mark Gasol. I love Mike Conley. There are two major reasons I still do what I do, writing 20 posts in 14 days, 5 years removed from living in Memphis, but this isn't working. It's broken, and it's made worse by the fact that they are not actually trying to be bad. This is similar to a point that I made, I think, on yesterday's show, which is, you know, in recent years, when things were going badly, it was either when Mark was out or Mike was out or both were out. And so even heading into this season, folks would talk about the Grizzlies in a variety of different ways. But a lot of it was always rooted in, as long as Mark plays X amount of games and Mike plays X amount of games, the Grizzlies are going to be good enough. You know, if Mike goes down, then you got problems. If Mark goes down, then you got problems. But as long as they play, the Grizzlies are going to be able to compete with anybody and be able to be a playoff contender. And I know that Mark has been banged up, and I know that that's an issue. But he is playing. And Mike is playing, and they're bad. For the first time, I think, ever, or at least in a long time, with Mike and Mark playing, they're bad. And so, unlike other years when they've been bad, there's not something you can point to and blame it on as it relates to Mike and Mark. And there's not something you're waiting on to return to make you into this different basketball team. Like, there's been times when Mike would go down, and folks would go, okay, but if you can just, like, you know, hover around 500, then when Mike gets back, then they'll be good to go. Mike's playing, Mark's playing, and the team's bad, and that takes that off the table. You can't say that anymore if you're a Grizzlies fan, that as long as Mike and Mark are playing, the Grizzlies are going to be fine, because it's just clearly no longer true for whatever reason.
And that's a terrifying statement, but it's accurate. And I think that Mark Gasol's decline is the most obvious one. Matt Hardlicka does a great job with his Patreon page. He used to write for us at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, and he and Harrington both put out great pieces today, lots of good Grizzlies content for folks who follow the Memphis Grizzlies and obviously folks beyond that. But they both talk about this very idea that the decline of Gasol, especially, you know, you look at last year and you wanted to write off Gasol's decline as he was playing with a bad team. You know, he was playing no Mike Conley. It was another one of the exactly what you just said. You could write it off as an excuse. There's no excuse now. You know, now it's just Marc Gasol's not very good, or he's struggling in the role that he's playing in. Does that mean that he can't be good for another team? That he can't be a third or fourth option on a contender? No, it doesn't mean that at all. If I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, even though Brooke Lopez has been good, depending on the cost, I'm calling about Marc Gasol. If I'm the Charlotte Hornets and I'm trying to be relevant in the Eastern Conference playoff picture that we talked about earlier, it's kind of wide open. You know, Toronto looks pretty good. But beyond that, it's open for anybody who really wants in. Marc Gasol makes sense. Now, what you get in return, that's where the debate and the questions come in as to what it means to move on from Mark. But it really is a situation now where you have to look at the basketball mortality of these guys. Two pieces of a core four that during the grit and grind era, that was the most fun, awesome experience watching them play. Watching them play for the city, being a part of that community. I was so fortunate to live in Memphis during that time. And that tweet that you read, I mean it. I meant it. I still do the work that I do at Grizzly Bear Blues in part because of Marc Gasol. So it's not fun to be on your great radio show, Gary, or on podcasts or on the blog and talk about how it's time to move on. It's not fun to look at these guys and acknowledge that they no longer fit what the Grizzlies need to do. But that's sports. You know, that's life on a larger scale. You have to move on at times. And the two pieces, the two sides, they just don't fit anymore. They don't fit what the Grizzlies need in terms of building around Jaren Jackson Jr. and other young guys moving forward in order for them to stay relevant in the NBA. They don't fit with what Mark can do in terms of being a focal point of an offense. It's just not a clean fit anymore. It was a lot cleaner when you had Zach and they were able to partner up a little bit. It was a lot cleaner when you had those guys to take on those leadership roles in the locker room and you didn't have the same types of issues that you see now in terms of the continuity lacking. You know, beyond Mike and Mark, there's not a ton of connection between the roster. You can see it in their body language. You can see it in the way they play. You know, Brevin Knight said it himself when he talked to Clyde Drexler. You know, the fact that they didn't compete against the Houston Rockets, there wasn't a competitive move. The Grizzlies just kind of laid down and take it. And you would not have said that about a team led by Mark and Mike, but also Tony Allen and Zach Randolph several years ago. So I think that you look at where they are now and you're trying to hold on to a core of Mark and Mike that we all thought was the main reason they had success. And I think basketball talent-wise, they were the main reason, especially towards the end of that run, that they had success. But you're now at a point where they aren't capable, especially Gasol, of being what you need them to be. And you need to decide just how bad you want that pick to convey this year. You need to decide how much it's worth it, because right now, the way they're losing, that pick may convey whether they keep Mark and Mike or not, if they can't get themselves out of this funk. So there's a lot of hard questions facing this Grizzlies team, and I thought they had a few weeks to kind of work through it as they were going through this next 10-game stretch. But they're 0-2 on that 10-game stretch, and there's a very real possibility that they're losing these next few games. So I will continue the work that I do over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I'm proud of our site and the stuff that we do. But it's a common misconception for folks like you and to a much lesser extent me, we don't like seeing the teams that we cover struggle. We want them to have success because it means more success for us and it means more success for the folks that we're passionate about, which is the community that we're a part of. It's not there right now for the Grizzlies. And if they don't change direction and find a way to improve upon the situation, whether it's moving on from Mark and Mike, whether it's getting another piece to try to help them, that apathy is going to build as the years go on, like I said. And I've seen what that can do to sports franchises. And I don't want that to happen to the Grizzlies.
That is Joe Mullinex. He's the site manager for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. If you're not reading the Grizzly Bear Blues blog, you're not as smart about the Grizzlies as you could be. Make sure you're doing that and follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. Excellent stuff once again, man. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anytime.
I'll take you up on that. That's Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. When we come back, turn our attention to college basketball. Tennessee, another big win last night. Ole Miss, not great loss last night. We're talking college basketball next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.